Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and this is a really real treat. We're here with the one and only Tom Berenger, who's coming to the GI Film Festival this weekend. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. I'm glad to be here.
How many years have you been coming out to the GI Fest, or is this the first year?
This actually is the first year. I was going to come up to ride with a Vietnam vet. My wife and I were going to ride in the parade with the vets, and we thought we'd do that at least once in our life and experience that. And, well, then it just happened to turn out that this was happening at the same time, and I got invited to this. So, yeah, they're a little bit interconnected, you know, with the veterans, this film festival, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just kind of a happenstance, but here I am.
Awesome. Well, before we dive into the festival, tell me a little bit more about that. You guys are you and your wife are going to ride your motorcycles with Rolling Thunder?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. Have you done that before?
No, I talked to a Marine general friend of mine, and he said, oh, you're going to love that. He says, you look back behind you as far as you can see, same thing as far ahead. I don't know, 500,000 bikes, maybe something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
So that'd be kind of a once in a lifetime experience,
I would say. What kind of bike do you have?
Well, we both have Harley Street Glides.
Okay.
Mine's 14. Hers is 15. Yeah.
That's awesome. Where do you guys usually ride? Do you ever go out to Sturgis, or where do you usually do?
We have been in Sturgis. We were in Sturgis last year, and we are coming back again this year, only like a kind of an invitation by Rod Woodward, the famous Woody of the Buffalo Chip up north of Sturgis there, a little bit out of town, and he's like kind of hosting us, and the director Carmen Cangelosi of a film we did called American Dresser, which is about, oddly enough, two vets leaving Long Island and riding across the country to Oregon and back.
That's so awesome. Well, that's really cool. But explain, compared to those other events, this Memorial Day, you know, ride with Rolling Thunder's got to be just that. I mean, it's just going to give you goosebumps. Explain why is it so important that you guys wanted to come up and take part of that?
Well, it's a bucket wish to some degree, and we'll know a few of the people in it. So it just sounds like it would be fun. I hope it's fun. May not be so much if it rains real hard.
You'll roll with it.
Yeah, we'll roll with the thunder.
Yeah, yeah, you'll put the thunder in the Rolling Thunder. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And the thunder rolls. Oh, that's so great. All right, well, let's dive into the festival a little bit. So you said this is your first time coming up for this, but I know you're... I'm pretty sure there's two events with you, right? You're going tonight, Wednesday night, you're going to this thing on Capitol Hill, and then also on Saturday there's this cinematic salute to the troops with, I guess, Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club and Jamie Kaler, the comedian. Do you know what to expect from each? Like, I guess let's go one at a time. Do you know what's going to go down tonight on the Hill?
I know I'm supposed to say a few words. wish I could just sit around and have a glass of wine, but gotta pay the piper, I guess. So
right.
I'll have to say something to them, and I'm gonna talk about how disappointed I was in my congressmen and senators from my state that I couldn't get into West Point.
You tell them.
Yeah, two other guys from my class did too. I couldn't believe that.
What's up? What's wrong with you? Come on.
I don't know, but a lot of held in anger about that one.
I can tell. You showed them.
I never became, an Army officer, and I ended up a soldier of the cinema.
Hey, well, we'll take it, man. Well, speaking of which, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm sure you're asked about it all the time, but you're going to go down in history for Platoon. I mean, why'd you have to do Willem Dafoe dirty like that in that movie?
It depends on whose point of view you're looking at.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
That's so great. But just, I mean, all
I found that the vets were not so judgmental about me.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good way to look at it. But man, if you when you look back at that movie, I mean, God, all the careers that were launched. Charlie Sheen and Johnny Depp is in that movie. Forrest Whitaker's in that movie. Corey Glover.
John McGinley and
Keith David and Willem Dafoe. Oh my God. Not to mention Oliver Stone's career. So just talk about like
what... Well, I worked with Keith David on that story about the two vets that go from Long Island out to Oregon.
Right, right, exactly.
We're like the two guys. We're like friends, and we're kind of on our last leg for different reasons, you know.
But just talk about, you know, just sort of that before we move on Platoon, just sort of that movie's, you know, the legacy. I mean, the Adagio of Strings is just like heartbreaking and such a stark reminder of you know, the horrors of war.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you brought up that Adagio to Strings, because this here's a classical piece written in 1924, and Oliver grabbed it, used it, and I hear it sometimes, like just once in a while, and it just makes you want to cry when you're driving down the highway or something like that. You're by yourself.
Yeah. We fought it. What's the line in the end? We fought against ourselves. Yeah. Yep. It brings it all back, man.
Yep.
All right, awesome. Transitioning from that, though, I guess a non-war movie. Were you and Charlie Sheen cast in Major League because off of working together in that movie, or is it just totally coincidence?
You know, I don't think so, but it was, we were like the first two people that David Ward casted. And I never really asked him that. After all these years, I still haven't asked him that. I should sometime, but... And you know, and Charlie called me and he says, "Are you going to do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I think it's great. Don't you?"
It's hilarious.
He said, "Well, I do. I just wanted to check and make sure." And I said, "Yeah, I'm in." "Okay, I'm in too." I said, "Great." And Charlie, I remember the first day he threw to me was he threw 10 pitches. Okay.
Yeah.
And 9 of them were on the edges of the strike zone.
So,
and one was a little wild outside low. And that was the first 10 pitches. So he had really, really good control. He was a good baseball player.
So he could paint the corner. So he was literally just a bit outside, like not like the movie. He could actually hit the corners.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I think on his best day, you know, I think on his best day, he was throwing about 89, something like that.
That's incredible. That's great.
That's what I was guessing. You know, I caught a guy with the Savannah Cardinals, was minor league for the St. Louis, and I caught him one day. We went down there and practiced with him, and I caught this pitcher, and he threw 94. So I'm judging by that.
That's great. I mean, it is like that movie still to this day is like pee your pants funny. But I also think the reason it works is like it doesn't build up to the big dramatic, you know, home run off the lights and all that.
It's a bunt.
I love that you dropped down the bunt. How awesome was that when you read that in the script and say, "Hey, I get to drop a bunt down to win this."
I know, and I got it on the first take too. It was like a perfect drag bunt right down to the third baseline. and you know, and of course, like, well, they're going, "Well, this guy, he's a catcher. He's in his last couple seasons. He's slow, you know, because catchers do slow down because they shorten their hamstrings."
Yeah.
And so he's not going to beat out a grounder. And that third baseman backs up to the edge like, you know, okay, I got all the time in the world here against this guy. And I, you know, I kind of do all that Babe Ruth stuff to make it look like I'm swinging away. And it's just a little bunt, and you see him. You don't hear his voice, but you can read his lips. He goes, "Oh shit!" He sees that bunt, right? You know, lollygagging down the third base.
Yeah, that's so great. I think didn't you guys shoot? I think you shot the sequel up at Camden Yards when it was pretty new in Baltimore. You should take the Harley up there and pay tribute. You're gonna be here.
We've been on the road. We did 5 days at Bike Week, and then we were like a couple of days in the Outer Banks, and then we drove through the rain. We have bikes on a trailer, thank God, and we drove through the rain all day yesterday to get here, and checked in the hotel and just sort of collapsed, and then we got to drive all the way back home to South Carolina. So you know, we got a long haul back, and I've got to go to Ireland in like man, I don't know, like 6 days after I get home.
Oh my God.
7 days.
And that,
to do another job.
Ireland's a rough motorcycle ride across the Atlantic. That's tough.
But I wouldn't mind doing the west of Ireland on a bike. That'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
But you are riding on the other side of the road, so you always got to be aware of that.
That is true. Well, we are. I mean, you and I could go tangents all day on dropping down bunts and motorcycles. But bring it back to the military stuff. Gettysburg. What was it like shooting that movie, man? That must have been.
Well, it was just sort of awe inspiring. I feel very lucky to have been in that because I think there's only like, I don't know, two good Civil War movies, and Civil War is very, very, very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And I feel Gettysburg kind of said it all, you know, like the book that it was based on, The Killer Angels, which won the Pulitzer Prize for History in 1974, historical fiction, excuse me. And I said, well, here it is. This is the one chance to do this. And it was pretty awe-inspiring. I mean, all those reenactors in there and stuff, we had 5,000 infantry for Pickett's Charge. We had 50 cannons with five-man crews. You know, there was Buford's cavalry on the first day of battle, and we actually got chills in the heat. We actually got chills under those wool suits, you know, being in those. And, of course, you got the drums and the fifes playing and everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well,
I remember when they go, fix bayonets, before Pickett's Charge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll click on, and it's like 5,000 bayonets click on down along the tree line. In three columns, yeah. Ooh.
Goosebumps under the wool.
Yeah.
Oh,
you get a kind of feeling. I mean, well, of course, they had fear, of course, you know, but you get a kind of feeling like, whoa, wow, this is something. On the same thing up on Little Round Top, you know, where Jeff Daniels is his chamberlain. It's like he goes, all right, enough of this nonsense. We got to attack downhill. They got to be exhausted, tired. They can't keep this up, but we're going to attack them. You know,
Man.
And they fix bayonets and they charge down.
It's insane. It really is, man. That was a different time, man. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
But you, aren't you, we talked to the festival director of GI Fest and he says you're pretty much a military buff. He says it's nice when not only it's like, you know, the celebrity sizzle that comes in, but that the guys are really into the subject matter and the history and really want to watch these movies. So how did you, was it just your own service? Is that what sort of sparked it for you? Or is there a certain time of military history that you really love researching?
No. I mean, I feel fortunate. I've done the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, and World War II. I don't know if I'm going to be around long enough to do World War I and the Revolution, you know, or the War of 1812. But that would have been great. But, you know, I did a lot of them. So I'm happy about that because I did enjoy all of them.
That's so awesome. So why should our listeners come out to the cinematic salute to the troops on Saturday night? I know it's a star-studded lineup and a couple awesome little short films that they're going to show as well. But you know why should we come out? I mean, there really is no more important thing that we can do than pay tribute to these vets and troops this weekend in particular.
Yes, and you know, I'm thinking back on some stuff like. An old friend of mine was Max Cleland, who was a senator from Georgia. And, before he became senator, he's not now, but before he became one, he was appointed head of the Veterans Affairs by Jimmy Carter. And I know here he was in a wheelchair, you know, a triple amputee, and he was racing across the country. And just doing sneak attacks on veterans' hospitals, going, all right, enough of this. This needs to be cleaned up. This has to be done. They never knew he was coming. So it was like, whoa, officer on the deck, inspection, woo, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how he would do it. And, you know, God bless him, he had the energy to do it. And so, it goes on and on, and it's always going to be around, and you got to take care of him. And it's like, Napoleon tried to do it with his troops, you know.
Right.
He was big on veterans. He even provided some college educations for kids and widows' funds and stuff. And that wasn't always done, you know, back in those times. I mean, and soldiers may sometimes are more volunteer than professional, but it wasn't always done many years ago. People just walked around. After the American Revolution, people don't know this, but there were a lot of kind of crippled people and people that had lost their farms while they were fighting for so many years. That was an 8-year war. And they lost their farms, they lost their jobs, some of them lost limbs or you know, just had problems, from campaigning for so long. And what did they get out of it? Well, not much. Jefferson got them some land over in the new areas up to the Mississippi, and most of them sold them off to land speculators because they needed money right away, but at least they got something,
Right, right.
And the Romans were real good when they finally became a professional army, under Augustus. They finally provided farms in the new lands, like North Africa and stuff like that, for their old, non-coms and NCOs and whatnot, and, took care of guys that had spent their life in the army.
That's fascinating, sort of what it says about each of these societies and civilizations, how they mm-hmm. each take care of their warriors. That's fascinating, comparing it history like you just did with Augustus. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then take it to, back up to like the Vietnam era, and a lot of those guys felt neglected when they got back. So I'm glad. I don't know if it was like a post 9/11 thing where that sort of started shifting and, it started honoring the troops more maybe around then, but... I'm glad to see events like this at the GI Fest doing this. Talk about sort of how these guys, a lot of the cool thing about this festival too, is that it's movies by veterans, that some of them are now directing movies that are in this mm-hmm. festival.
Yes.
Is that a rare thing in the film industry, or is there more crossover than people think?
I think it was. I mean, I think Oliver was sort of an exception. I know when I started in the business, a lot of the, there were a couple directors that had, were veterans of World War II, and maybe Korea. There were first assistant directors that were veterans, and they were very military the way they ran their operations, which was great. It was great the way they did it.
Right.
And then they all started like either dying or retiring or this, and they started disappearing. Robert Altman did something like, 35 to 40 bomber runs in Southeast Asia, over into China, fighting the Japanese and stuff.
Yeah. This is before MASH, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and I know in like the golden age, back in World War II, I mean, I know a lot of those guys like William Wyler and George Stevens
Frank
Capra, they went over and they shot, the films for Why We Fight kind of stuff. So is it rare?
The guy, I don't recall his name, but that movie, The Big Red One, I think with Lee Marvin or something. Of course, Lee Marvin got wounded at Guadalcanal with the Marines, but... He was with the 1st Division when they landed at D-Day and stuff and fought across France and into Germany and stuff with the 1st Infantry Division. And and there was a director,
You're talking about Sam Fuller?
Mm-hmm, Sam Fuller.
Right. God, what a good filmmaker, man. Pick up on South Street, man. All right, we could go all day. But awesome. Well, I just love that you appreciate military history and movie history and motorcycle history, the three M's, all at the same time. Awesome. Well, just in closing, we'll let you run. We know you've been more than generous, but just in closing, why should we come out?
I think there's a real variety of different stuff there. They do, when I asked Brandon Miller, the director of this, I said, like, now do you do comedies? He goes, yeah, we'll do comedies. I can't tell you how many of these might be. He says, we do foreign films too. I went, really? Wow. Okay. That's cool. Because there's some pretty good foreign military movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are.
I think there's a whole block of them they're showing at the Canadian Embassy. I think that's what that day is. It's like the international offerings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. Yep. Tons of variety, but definitely come out to Cinematic Salute to the Troops with Tom Berenger on Saturday. Sir, you're more than generous with your time. Thank you so much, and thanks for all the great movies and memories through the movies. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.